You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome to Sabres Live here on a Friday. We are at Lecom Harbor Center. It is the site of the World Para Ice Hockey Championship. And I know we're going to talk about the Stanley Cup Finals. It was set now. The Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers are going to have a rematch from last year. But because today is semifinal day here at the World Para Ice Hockey Championship, we've got two goalies for Team USA. I got Griffin Lamar and Jen Lee. Thank you, gentlemen. It's awesome to have you here. So you want to talk strictly goaltending with me, or do you want to kind of spread it around a little bit?
No, we're all goaltenders here, Marty. I think I'll be great.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Strictly goaltending. Okay, yeah. So Jen, you're the veteran. You've had 3 gold medals at the Olympics, 4 at the World Championship. You're the veteran. When you got to get ready for another Olympics, another World Championship, how has the work changed now from where it was at the beginning of your career?
Yeah, I think, definitely being a veteran now, it's just kind of like, you know, we always kind of lead by example, right? So definitely from the work ethic on and off the ice to the locker room atmospheres and just to get everybody dialed in and everything. And then of course, like, you know, me and Griffin, we got to do our job too and, you know, execute and make sure that we, you know, put us in a good game and then get a win for sure.
But it's still a competition. That's the thing people don't understand is, I mean, you kind of work with your goalie partner. There's a little competition. He's the younger kid. You're the veteran. Does he listen? Does he pay attention to some of the tricks of the trades?
Yeah, he definitely, I mean, for sure. I mean, I think there were definitely times that, you know, there's the battle we always do in the practices, yep, on the ice and stuff like that. But there's definitely where when he came on the team and, you know, Griffin can say, like, there was, like, definitely a little tough love there and there. But at the end of the day, it was nothing but, like, but support, but love because, you know, I want Griff to succeed because knowing me, you know, we'll be, you know, getting older in this game and, yep, then Griffin is the next man up, right? So love to see him, like, really just been continuing to be, you know, the guy right there for sure for our team.
Griffin, what about these experiences for you? Like, your first Olympics was in Beijing and you guys won gold and now, you know, the World Championship getting ready for next year's Paralympics. So what are these experiences for you coming in as the new guy after a long-time veteran retired and kind of opened the door for you?
Yeah, it's been great. And to Jen's point, you know, I came onto the scene. Well, I was on the development team for quite some time, mm-hmm, but 2022 kind of, you know, Stevie retired, came onto the scene, you know, October before the Paralympics. And I had a ton to learn. And to Jen's point, you know, he gave me some tough love. He taught me some hard lessons. But, you know, from there, I've just been able to build on that. And, you know, Jen and I do have that great relationship where, you know, whether it's I'm starting a semifinal or we're doing every other, or Jen gets every game for the tournament, you know, just taking it all in, trying to learn as much as I can from, you know, a guy who has been here for 12, 13, 14 years, has learned from those before us, and you know, just trying to, you know, build my game to where that when my time comes, when I am number one, when it's just me, when Jen eventually, you know, moves on, you know, we're in the best position to win as a team, and I'm, you know, the guy. So
I luckily for me, I've got to experience both roles as a starter and a backup, but I always like to stay busy. Even when I was the backup, I was on the bench. I would maybe take notes on face-offs, on shooters. I would talk to the players about the other team's goaltender. Is it the same thing? Like, what do you like to do if you're not playing? I mean, you want to play every game, but if you're not playing, what do you like to do?
Yeah, I mean, I prepare for every game as if I was starting. So, you know, same pregame ritual if I'm playing or if I'm not. And then once I'm on the bench, just trying to be there for the guys. You know, if we have a timeout, Jen comes over for water, you know, coming over, just talking about what we've seen, you know, just whatever Jen wants to talk about. If he doesn't want to talk about anything, you know, just taking his mind off, you know, if maybe a goal went in, just trying to keep it light and loose. Yep. And, you know, as the guys are coming off from their shifts, just saying, you know, telling them what I saw and you know, just having those conversations with them to say, hey, maybe, you know, could have made this pass or, you know, guy was open here or to your point, you know, we're losing face-offs. Hey, Evan, maybe dial it in a little bit. So, yeah, definitely try to keep myself in the game because you never know, too, when, you know, something might happen and I might have to go in. So just making sure, you know, I'm on it.
So yeah. I was a big equipment geek. Like, I love working with my equipment, playing around. I change companies regularly. But the one thing that stands out to me is, especially when it comes to goaltending and sled hockey, is that the goalie equipment can change and differ from individual to individual. What you're using, how you like to play. So is this something that you've kind of adjusted over your career and changed, or have you stayed the same way throughout your career?
Not gonna lie, I'm kind of stay around the same thing. I don't really don't like to change a lot of stuff. Kind of like my equipment, my gear, almost like Brodeur, like we had the same chest protector for like, gosh, like 20 seasons, you know. I still like kind of like have the same style, like I have Reebok, you know, and then, you know, kind of just adding pads is like if it's falling off. But if you were talking about equipment, you got to look at this guy over here. He's definitely a huge equipment dude that changes, like, every game or practice and all that stuff, yeah.
Little adjustments here and there all the time?
Yeah, I change my gloves up. I try to play with, you know, the way we play. Like, Jen uses a Brian's blocker, and, you know, that blocker's a little bit longer on the knuckle. I like it a little bit shorter so I can kind of get more push-off. So played around with my gloves. My chest protector, though, is 15 years old, so that thing has seen better days, and I just got a new one, and, you know, we've been playing with it on and off the ice, but every time I put it on, I'm like, nope, give me my old one.
He loves changes the buckles and straps, too.
Buckles and straps.
They strip all the time, and that's the inside joke with the team there. For every practice, for every game, I'm always changing all the straps on my sled, all the buckles, they strip, and I need to be as in tight as my sled as possible, to the point where my legs are falling asleep after a period.
Really? It has to be really tight? Like to have everything?
I like to feel one with the sled, you know, when I'm moving, I'm not wiggling, there's no loose, so, yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of, like, secondhand stuff, so I normally take all his stuff. Like, if it's, like, one or two use, I'm like, that's my stuff. That's my, yeah.
That's what
my
you like to do.
Yeah, that's my straps. That's my, you know.
Okay, so a big thing is the positioning, the movement. What is the number one thing? Like, if there's somebody that says, hey, you know what, I love the game. Like, I came to see it here at Lee Comm Harbor Center. I love it. I may want to get into it. And I love the position of goaltending. What's the one thing that you would say is the most important to work on when it comes to, you know, playing, especially in the crease here?
Yeah, I think for me, it just, got into the position. Positioning is the most important for us, you know, at least with the coach, when I worked it earlier with different goalie coaches, you know, they really technical and stuff, and they have to be, you know, in depth as well. So positioning in depth is something that, you know, at least for us, like, we play different styles too. Yeah. You know, you see the Canadians and the Europeans back there, they playing a little more cross-legged, a little bit more square. Griffin and I, we're playing a little bit more old-school style. That's, sitting with the leg out. So those little things, the angles, we're definitely not going to be square with the puck. We're a little bit more 45 degrees. But we're definitely using our leg a little bit more compared to the cross-legged goalie. But again, like, every position of the goaltending is different too. How the strength and the weakness for sure.
Have you tried different ways to playing? Like you mentioned, Jen, about the European and the Canadian, play the goaltending position a different way. Have you adjusted and tried, or you stayed true?
No, I stay true to it. And even Jen and I are a little different, where he wears a goalie leg pad. I just wear regular skater shin guards because, you know, he's taller. He's got a little bit more size, a little bit more length. So wearing that pad makes sense, whereas I'm small. And if anyone's familiar with Steve Cash, you know, he was this big in the net, but he's the best goalie of all time. So, you know, using that speed more than the size in that case, given, the way we play. But Jen's tossed around maybe throwing the leg across a little bit, but
yeah, it's definitely the cross leg. I feel like, you know, for me, I'm just getting a little older, so there's like explosiveness. Maybe it's just like for cross leg, you're still a little bit able to use the energy, where it requires less energy. Where our position, it's a lot of that, and that's one thing. One
great thing about Griffin's, you know, his style. He's aggressive. He plays with explosiveness. He's really quick as far as like sliding with his power slide. So if you really are good at those little, those small different type of physiques, you're definitely going to be good in this position too.
You're listening to Sabres Live here on WGR 550 and MSG. I've got two, well, the only people that are important, the goalies with the U.S.-led hockey team. Jen, you're an Army vet, and you played other sports, you were active. So how did the transition into something completely different happen for you? I know you had the motorcycle accident, but how did that transition?
Yeah, totally. I think, for me, it's just luckily I was able to play a little bit of inline roller when I was growing up. You know, Mighty Ducks was kind of like, Mighty Ducks kind of my favorite movie, and then I kind of got into hockey because of it. And then again, like, no difference. I try to play, trying to score, but my footwork was terrible. So, you know how it is in those back in those days, like, if you're terrible at something, they just kind of throw you in the net. So, kind of throwing the net, got to fall in love with goalie. Never thought I was playing hockey again until after the Army. And then said hockey became one of the therapy sports for a military rehab center. So, for me, it was just kind of like, hey, is this something, playing ice is my first time. But the concept of the game, the hockey and everything else, the physicality, but also goaltending, it's almost similar. So
yeah, and how did you get into it? Because for you, it's also like active, involved in many different sports, and now all of a sudden, boom, this comes in, and now you're gearing up for your second Olympics.
Yeah, I so when I was a kid, I was born with my disability. So when I was a kid, all my friends were playing stand up hockey, and I was arguing with my mom, like, let me play. She's like, it's not going to be pretty out there. You're not going to make the team. I hate to break it to you. So we were having that argument, and my physical therapist at the time knew the person who ran our local sled program. So he introduced me and, fell in love with the sport. And same thing, we're in a youth tournament. I started playing when I was, 11 years old. We're in a youth tournament. Our goalie was not the best. It was, to Jen's point, the guy that can't skate. So we're throwing him in net. Found ourselves in a championship game. And they're like, hey, anybody that wants to actually try here, want to play goalie? I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And won that tournament in a shootout, fell in love with the position, and been playing that ever since. So
that is awesome. Those are great stories. I'm sure there's people that are listening that are like, hey, I want to get into it, and I'm not sure. These are great stories. I mean, you can get in when you're young or maybe a little older, and you just find the love for it, and it works.
Do got a quick question. Have you tried playing in the sled position?
Yeah, I've never been in the sled. I have seen it from ice level. Rob Ray, who's an analyst for a Sabres game, he's gotten in the sled, and after 5 minutes, he couldn't move. Like, his arms were tired. Right. His body was tired. So I'd have to get into the sled and play the position and see what it's like to be in that position with pucks being shot at and like the high shots. Like, that would be a challenge for me, thinking that stand-up hockey, you can maybe be a little more patient and read it. But being along the ice and having to reach up would be a big challenge.
A little bit, for sure. Yeah, well, you and I are almost like the same height, so you can definitely, any time you want to put in the sled or get into my old gear, kick chest with territory, you can definitely get it.
Well, yeah, I still have all of that at home.
Okay, you're pretty
I have a Reebok, too, so I know the black one with the yellow, that's the one I have. So
yeah,
that's
the blue and one.
I've got an old one. Now, you're a new dad, so how has that changed your perspective when you, get on the ice and get ready for World Championship and Olympics, being a new dad?
Yeah, totally. I think having a different perspective, for sure, and then just different embracing to being a new father, but at the same time, like, knowing that everything I do from now on, whether it's, however this career is going to be set out from now till the, hopefully the Milan Games, that, I'm playing for her, playing for my family, and I'm just trying to set a good example, and then obviously enjoying the game as much as I can.
That's awesome. Now, I have a little bit of a bone to pick with you, because I heard that you are a New England Patriots fan. You're in Bills Mafia territory here.
I know.
And
I know.
That is, for years, we weren't even allowed people from New England in this area.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Now that you've seen what Buffalo's about and everything, and the fact that the Bills are better now, is there a little bit of you that says, yeah, I'll cheer for the Bills when they're not playing the Patriots?
I don't know if I can ever cheer for the Bills. I do want to get over to a Bills game for sure.
Yep.
And I do understand that they are the better team these days, but I'm a Patriots diehard through and through. Drake May, he's our savior.
Okay.
He'll bring us back to glory.
Okay, well, maybe you got to make it up here for a Patriots-Bills game at some point in this upcoming season. It's the last year at the old stadium, and then they're going to move across the street.
Oh, wow.
So it will be very cool. Guys, what about, semifinal later today. Obviously, you know, Canada's in the other side. So you guys have China in the semifinal. Canada's got Czechia. China's a tough team. Like, they have gotten really good over the last few years. The competition, when I look at the top four, it's pretty tight. So what about this semifinal coming up that is a challenge to you guys and the whole team?
Yeah, I mean, I think, to your point, China's really closed that gap. They're a very fast team. I'd say they're probably the fastest team we'll play against, to be honest. And they have some really good players, and they've become a lot more disciplined and have learned a lot, you know, learned the game a lot more than they once did. So I think we need to prepare for, you know, a very close game and you know, play smart and make sure that we're defending hard.
Any tactical part of the game, like you know, sometimes it's about puck possession or getting it behind, like a little dump and chase. Is there something that works better for your team when you play a fast team like China?
First of all, you got to make sure that they're not listening, but they are. Can't be really exposing the whole strategy. You know what I mean? We're going to have to do an Omaha.
You can lie. You can lie. You can tell me whatever you
want.
We're
going to let them through.
Exactly.
We have a fun. Yeah, no. I think physicality. I think it's going to be a lot of put a lot of bat bodies on them and then just playing hard physicality against them. There are times that, you know, when opponents, especially in playoff hockey with this type of atmosphere, playing physical, it's going to be make a difference too between when they you know, want to go for that inch for that extra puck or not, and you know, for possession and stuff like that.
Okay, what about the wings? I know early in the week you guys tried some wings and all of that. Hot, medium, mild.
Yep.
The blue cheese is important. I think I saw one of your teammates and he was doing with ranch only, didn't want to do blue cheese. That's a big no-no here. So what's the wing of choice for you, Jeff?
I'm not going to lie. I think he knows this. Like, I'm a nuclear atomic, you know, super
flaming
hot, give me sweating type of guy, you know. And, I definitely was good. I mean, I paid my respect for the wings. It's really, it got me good for the next 2 days. My stomach is burning.
Yeah.
I'm a medium guy. I take it easy. Yeah.
But I'm a wimp. I'm a mild or like the barbecue stuff and the things that taste good, but it's not going to put a hurting on me. But anyway, it was really nice to meet you guys.
Thank you so much.
It was nice to meet you. Good luck for the rest of the tournament. Enjoy the next couple of days here in Buffalo. We finally got some sun. It was raining and crappy for a week, but now we got some nice weather. So, but you guys are indoors focusing on this. So good luck and thank you. I'll let you kind of get on with it. We're going to check the schedule now, and then I've got the executive director of USA Hockey coming up with us for a little interview after that. So, okay, so if you are in the area and want to check out some really good hockey, the first semifinal, you know, is going to be later tonight. USA and China is at 5 o'clock, so that is definitely something that you want to check out. I mean, Team USA is 3-0 in the tournament. They are the, you know, defending Paralympic gold medal champions, but they did get the silver last year in the World Championship, so they're looking to kind of get the gold again and, you know, just get on in their good ways. So that was awesome. I mean, talking to a couple of fellow goaltenders, and, you know, I love when the goalie nerd comes out of all of us, so that's awesome. But it is time to now do a switch on the fly, and we have Pat Keller, executive director of USA Hockey. Pat, it's awesome to have you on.
Thanks, Marty.
You know, it's Brown University. I have to go and look it up and say, you know what, like, so what year were you at Brown, and how was that for you?
I got out in 92. It was great. I like to joke and say that, you know, there's a back door to get people like me into Brown somehow, and then somehow I get out the front door, so we'll take it. But a great experience. Loved it. Loved everything about it. And just, you know, it was great experience all
around.
Do
you still follow the program a little bit?
I do.
See what's going on? Obviously, like USA Hockey,
we follow everybody, Marty. We love everybody.
But do you have a little bit of a sore spot for what they're doing over there?
A little bit of sore spot, yeah. Actually, the coach, Brendan Whitt, was my little brother in our fraternity when we were in school.
Oh, really?
Yep. So I remain close with him and follow the program and certainly hope for the best all the time. And actually, the sad part is now I have a buddy who went to school with me at Brown whose son plays on the team. Okay. So you're like, okay, it's been a few years since we graduated in 92.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I look at when I got drafted in 95. I'm like, it's been 30 years since I got drafted with the Buffalo Sabres. So Lawton Zacher was the goalie at Brown last year.
Yep.
He's transferred out to Northeastern. I'm sorry. That's, you know, that's the way it goes now with college hockey.
It's a different world.
The transfer portal is a different world. But let's talk about this event here.
Yeah.
The, you know, the World Para Ice Hockey Championship, and obviously being back at Lecombe Harbor Center after 10 years. It was a success 10 years ago and another successful event here. What's it about this building and this you know, location that makes it great?
I mean, first and foremost, the Buffalo Sabres have been incredible partners mm-hmm. to USA Hockey forever and ever, right? We've had World Juniors here.
Yes.
We've had U18 Women's here. And obviously now our second Para Ice Hockey World Championship here. So, you know, it starts when you have a great partner in the National Hockey League, a yep. team like the Sabres and the franchise, and just so much great stuff here. And then this building is really incredible, especially for para hockey, right? Mm-hmm. There's some nuances with para and the athletes that we have to be sensitive to and make mm-hmm. sure they have a great experience, and everything is set up here. And the team and everybody here at LECOM does a fantastic job, and the building is tremendous. And, you know, our players are attached at the Hotel of the Marriott, come right in here. All the teams have a great experience, so it's been phenomenal. And now we're down to the real stuff, right?
Yeah, the semifinals today. And I remember 10 years ago when the tournament started, they had to actually switch the penalty box doors because they didn't open the right way for the sled to come in. Like it did something that we didn't think about this. So now, you know, first day of the tournament, like, let's switch the door so they open the right way. They put the clear board so that, you know, the athletes from their sled, they can see onto the ice and see what's going on. So definitely a lot of thinking that you probably wouldn't think if you are just a regular rink, but this building was built to be able to host things like that over 10 years ago now.
For sure, and when you host a world championship, it's a big deal, mm-hmm. right? We have athletes here from 8 different countries. They're competing. I mean, we just saw here, right, the Germans win to qualify for the Paralympics. Yeah. Like, that's a big deal, right? We're obviously trying to win gold medals at mm-hmm. these events, but all these different countries have different expectations and things that they're trying to accomplish with their program. So we want to make sure we host the best event possible. And the facilities play a huge factor in that, right? We can put all the bells and whistles on it, but for the athletes, when they come through, to have the locker room space they need, the accessibility they need, the penalty boxes, all that stuff that you mentioned, makes for a great experience. And then that, to us, just brings the hockey up to another level.
What about the succession plan when it comes to, like, the athletes? Like, Adam Page was from Buffalo, and he's been with the, you know, Team USA for many years.
Yep.
But now there's new players, younger players that come through. So how is that program, the development program? We talked to Griffin. He was part of the development team. How is that program feeding up to the big club?
So if you go back, USA Hockey really took over responsibility for sled hockey, and really we have 7 different disabled hockey disciplines within USA Hockey. We took over sled in the early 2000s, and frankly, it took a little while, but we built really a development model similar to what we have in youth hockey, mm-hmm. right? There's lots of kids that play. We provide access. We do, you know, learn to play sled hockey, try sled hockey programs. We have sled lending programs so that we can get it to communities that may not have the sled program to bring people in. And so now you have a whole grassroots underneath this that goes up to seeing a successful sled hockey team. So we've obviously had a lot of success in world championships, a lot of success in the Paralympics with gold medals, and we have youth players that, just like you grew up wanting to play in the NHL, mm-hmm. these guys grew up wanting to make it to the national team. So there's a lot of players, there's a lot of depth, and it's harder and harder to make this team every year, and harder to stay on. It's very, very competitive. We're fortunate to have some, you know, I would say at some point Hall of Fame sled players on our program and on our team. But we've got more players coming every year. Dan Brennan, who's been the general manager of this program and team for a long, long time, tells me about just the depth of it now.
Yeah.
Like, we have guys that, you know, 5 years ago they probably would have been on the team, but we're so much deeper now, which is really, really exciting for the sport. It just brings the level up.
And I know this is the World Championship, so we're looking ahead to the Paralympics next year. But 2014 gold, 2018 gold, 2022 gold.
2010 before that, Marty. Don't forget in Vancouver.
Okay, that's right.
Four straight.
See, I'm dual citizen, so I basically have won every year because I can kind of switch back and forth. I was looking at Jen. Jen's been on the last three,
yes,
and you're right, 2010 before that was also, so four straight. How does that help with, like, the sponsorships and the preparation to be able to say, hey, we're 4-time defending Paralympics champion, we're going in for 5? Like, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. We're very fortunate. Like I said, the whole grassroots structure that we have that's grown because of that success. And now, you know, frankly, to have things on television, streaming, people can access this team and watch it. The Paralympics just raise everything to another level. Our partners at the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee provide tremendous support to our program and team, especially in the Paralympic year. But you can't just show up and win.
Yeah.
So these guys have a pretty tough training regimen, to be honest. We'll do a residency program for 2 months leading into the Paralympics. So these guys will all move. Many of them live in Colorado now, mm-hmm. but the whole group will move to Boulder, Colorado. Mm-hmm. They'll have 2 months of training together in preparation to get to Milan next year. So so there's a lot to it. This is certainly a huge step. I think our guys are a little... they have a little. There's some salt in the wounds because we lost this tournament at the end last year. So I think they're pretty focused and knowing they want to be ready and be set for next year. And I think, as you know, across our organization, we've got three pretty big gold medals this year in international hockey. Yep. And we want to have this fourth one to lead this group towards the Paralympics.
Well, obviously, the World Championships just ended, and I know we want to focus on the sled and the para ice, but I've got to talk about the World Championship and Tage Thompson scoring that goal in overtime. And your work that you've done as the executive director since 2017, right? I think that's so 92 years between gold medals, 1933, 2025. And there's been some really good teams.
Absolutely.
And the World Championship is a fantastic tournament. So what does that do to you, knowing that you have this tournament going on here? You're keeping an eye on what's happening overseas and seeing that 1-0 overtime win against the Swiss.
Just phenomenal for USA Hockey across the board. I mean, we've had, you know, incredible success with our women's and girls programs, right, internationally. Incredible success with the sled program internationally. Incredible success World Juniors on the men's side, U18 on the men's side. Our national team development program is renowned as the best development program in the world. And the one area that we haven't recently gotten over the top is on the men's level. We've got unbelievable players. We've had great teams. I mean, you saw the Four Nations this year. Incredible tournament. You know, a sliver could have gone either way. Obviously, it didn't go our way. And so we've known for a long time, obviously, that we hadn't won a gold medal since 1933. Our players that come to the tournament know that. Our coaches, our staff, everybody wanted to be part of that group to break that streak. And I think this year, you know, the leadership of Clayton Keller, Tage Thompson, Logan Cooley, Zach Werenski, Jeremy Swayman, we had some high-end guys there that many people will probably see, you know, some of those guys in the Olympics next year. And those guys certainly want to make sure they put their best foot forward to try and get on that Olympic team. And they delivered.
Here in Buffalo, everybody wants to know, and you have a lot of pulls. So is Tage going to be on that team next year? I mean, it was kind of a snub that he didn't make the Four Nations, and I get it. I think he was not happy about it, and he had a fantastic, you know, season and had a great tournament. So saying... You can put a good word, right?
He can certainly shoot a puck, and I know Billy Guerin, Mike Sullivan, all the decision makers and our staff were certainly watching that. He was fantastic. I mean, he's a unique player with his size and his skating and his shooting ability. And I know that's someone our guys will look at for sure.
Okay. Well, Pat, it was awesome to have you on. Pat Keller, the executive director of USA Hockey, and congratulations for this event. Congratulations for the success that you've had internationally with all the programs, and we hope that people show up, because semifinals today, finals tomorrow. We want the building to be full. We want the support there, and you guys have done an awesome job. So thanks again,
and we'll
be right back. We'll be talking about the Stanley Cup Finals. It's set, Florida against the Edmonton Oilers. Shayna Goldman will be on just after this quick break here on Sabres Live.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Oh, this was a great segment with Pat Keller, Executive Director of USA Hockey, and before that, Jen Lee and Griffin Lamar, both goaltenders for the Team USA Sled Hockey here at the World Para Ice Hockey Championship. Semifinal Friday is here, tomorrow's bronze and gold medal game. But we are going to talk NHL now in Buffalo Sabres with our Friday insider, Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. Shayna, I buried the lead in the first half hour. I didn't even mention the Sabres hired a senior advisor. Jarmo Kekäläinen, former general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets, has been hired to kind of, you know, be the guy to another voice with Kevin Adams and his hockey operations department. What do you make of the Jarmo Kekäläinen hiring here in Buffalo?
I think that it can go two ways, right? Like, sometimes there are too many voices and too many cooks in the kitchen. I think we've seen that with some teams. But I think in the Sabres case, it's a good thing to have another mind, another perspective in there just to add another opinion and a little bit of experience, right? That's the one thing that's gotten talked about a lot with Kevin Adams is that he doesn't have that same long-term experience in this position. So you bring a kick line and it adds that while still having guys like Sam Ventura who have that championship caliber experience. But I think the two best things he brings are, one, the willingness to take swings and take a risk, right? Like, we have seen the Blue Jackets go all in. You think of those past deadlines when they knew there was a chance of Bobrovsky and Panarin leaving, and they went, you know what? We're going to go all in this year while we can. And I think the fact that he'll have that vision to take a risk and then actually commit to it is something we don't always see with general managers. They hem and haw a little bit too much. So I think that's something the Sabres can use. The other part of it is, he has a willingness to listen to different perspectives and use different tools when they're at his disposal, right? You look at the Blue Jackets front office, they had Josh Flynn as the assistant general manager. That is a nerdier pick. They have, you know, people like Cam Lawrence working for them. And obviously the Sabres have a very good analytics department and they have minds like Sam Ventura. So I think the fact that he's willing to work with that and bring in different perspectives, it's always a good thing.
12 years as a general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Before that, he was with the St. Louis Blues for 8 years as a scout and an assistant general manager, and then 7 years with the Ottawa Senators. So he's been in hockey ops for 30 years, and before that he was a player. There's a European side to him, obviously, and we know that the Sabres have Rasmus Dahlin as their captain. So do you think that that also brings an element of, well, branching out to, different parts of the world, the scouting, the finding? Because you look at Columbus, they had Voronkov and Marchenko, and they've been able to find these players a little bit everywhere through the draft and free agency.
Yeah, it's never a bad thing to have. And listen, the Sabres don't have biases against European players. You know that they have stars like Paterka and Dahlin right there, but a lot of teams do, whether it's, you know, a known thing or something just like inherent that it just so happens. The way a player like Sam Bennett gets talked about, or look at Vancouver, right? The Elias Pettersson, JT Miller of it all. And the fact that JT Miller was brash was great because he's North American versus, you know, maybe Pettersson was too aloof. So yep. Sometimes when you bring in that European mind into a front office, I think it kind of helps make sure those biases don't happen. And it keeps you looking at all different players, because we see the growth of European hockey, right? Look at the growth of Finnish hockey over the years. And now look at Denmark and Germany. So yep. There are so many great players out there. If you have someone who has that extra, you know, attention to detail for it, it's never a bad thing.
Okay, so that is the Sabres. We'll see what happens. I mean, it's, you know, the Combine is here in Buffalo next week. Draft prospects are going to be here for interviews. The draft is different this year. It's not centralized like it used to. Every team is going to be in their, you know, home offices and kind of NFL style. But we got the draft in a month from now. So a lot to do with Kevin Adams and Jarmo Kekäläinen and their staff moving forward. Okay, last night, Shayna, I know you're going to give me your real, true opinion of what happened 7 minutes into the game. Dallas is down 2-0. Pete DeBoer calls a timeout. And then what I called it, a angry, angry pull of Jake Oettinger, one of the best goalies in the league, at 2-0. He pulls him in game five. Your back's against the wall. I didn't like it, but I want you to tell me your opinion of it.
I didn't like it either. I know you want to settle things quick, right? And sometimes a goalie pull can do that. It's a wake-up call for the team in front of him. I don't have an issue with trying to motivate your team in that way. I still would have put Oettinger back in for the second period. You know my opinion on like rotating a little bit more. Yes. I didn't like it though. And I think the history of Peter DeBoer with his starting goalies and those situations obviously plays into it, right? Like it's more than just this happening with Jake Oettinger. But I really didn't like it in the moment. I think about the Blues and Jets in round one. And Connor Hellebuck allowed 2 goals and looked really shaky. And at that point, we knew he was not 100%, right? He was pulled 3 times on the road in that series at that point already. And Jake Oettinger wasn't in that position. So he allows 2 goals. I wasn't even looking at him going, okay, I thought he handled them horrifically or he looks completely out of sorts. I think the fact that the Jets kept him in there and said, you're our guy and we're going to, you know, you're our ride or die and we're not going to change that now when it matters the most, meant something, right? To the players, to him, and it just got everyone going. And I think they did the polar opposite here. I don't understand it. And I did not at all like those comments after the game, putting that on Jake Oettinger. He saved the goal above expected last game. He kept them in it. He has 3 quality starts in this series, right? I don't think he was the best goalie in the world in this series, and I think Stuart Skinner did outplay him, but I thought he was fine enough. My bigger issue was that they had 5 5-on-5 goals this entire series, and that was something that could have dried up because, right, like in rounds 1 and 2, that 5-on-5 scoring wasn't there, and if you didn't have the power play scoring, they were going to be in trouble, and oops, the goal scoring dried up.
Well, how about this, Pete DeBoer? You decided to insert Maverick Bourque. He hasn't played all playoffs, and then he takes a penalty like 3 minutes into the game that leads to the Edmonton Oilers' first power play goal, and all of a sudden it's like unraveling. And you're right. After the game, DeBoer said, hey, you know what? It's not just this game. It's last year in the playoffs against the Oilers in the conference finals. He lost 6 of 7, and it's a pretty big sample. It's almost like he had in his mind that yep. If it doesn't go well, I'm going to pull my starting goaltender. This is your guy who will be there for the next few years. I've talked to people today, Shayna, and they say this could be a fireable offense for Pete DeBoer. Like, Jim Neal is not an emotional guy that, you know, flies by the seat of his pants, but this could be something that he'll have to look into because there's no way you can repair that relationship between Oettinger and DeBoer. Think of Marc-Andre Fleury and Pete DeBoer and the Alan Walsh, like, picture yep. of the dagger through the back. Like, it could be Oettinger right now, Shayna. I don't like it at all for next year.
No, I don't, because that's your franchise player, right? This is not a throwaway player. Like, if you were handling Stuart Skinner this way, who had a shaky regular season, shaky start to the postseason, you could have that conversation. Jake Oettinger isn't that. He's their bona fide number one goalie. And sure, his numbers weren't perfect last year, but don't forget last year, the top 3 lines couldn't produce anything. They went 0 for 14 on the power play. And then this year you look at it, and I'm not going to blame Peter DeBoer for the roster he was handed, right? Because that defense was, that right side of the defense we all knew was going to be a problem, right? They're playing Cody Ceci these huge minutes, but Pierre DeBoer chose to play him in those minutes, right? And he chose to play him, and he pulled out Lyubushkin and could have swapped them back at any point in the series when he saw his defensemen getting buried or handled his minutes differently. There were so many things he could have done differently. I thought last night they could have gone 11-7, honestly, so you're getting those extra reps for guys like Rantanen, who we know they can double shift. That's going to hurt the matchup game for the Oilers. And then you don't have to insert Bork in there in this tough situation. If he was put in earlier in this postseason, I'd look at it differently, but he wasn't. So I think that there were just a lot of coaching issues here. That first line, when he put it together, when Hintz came back into the game for game four, it was Robertson, Hintz, and Rantanen. They had horrible numbers together. They didn't have that same chemistry either earlier this postseason. It was Granlund in that position. Like, he's changing the lines. He's managing everyone in front of Jake Oettinger, so he's not giving him the advantage that he should have in net, but he's not even playing that badly in goal that I think should spur this conversation in the first place. It's all messed up, and I think even, did you see the comments? He said something about, like, this roster maybe wasn't as good as it was last year. It was something along those lines. Like, do you have accountability? Because if you're going to be coaching in the playoffs and being a Stanley Cup champ, you have to have that.
You have to have that. And look, Chris Knobloch and the Edmonton Oilers, Paul Maurice and the Florida Panthers have had great accountability, little adjustment. Jeff Skinner gets his first playoff goal in a second playoff game. I mean, he played game one and didn't play again until last night. He got the 3-0 goal. Some changes. Mattias Ekholm came in. Him and Bouchard didn't even play the most minutes on the blue line. And the game got tight. It got 3-2. It got 4-3. Like, it got tight. Corey Perry, Shayna, he's 40 years old. He's slotted in now in where Zach Hyman was. Scores a forced power play goal. How impressive is that for the Oilers to be able to say, okay, we lost Zach Hyman, but hey, you know what? Corey Perry's got 7 goals. We'll be fine.
It's a huge credit to Knobloch, I think, because he really does know how to channel the best of his roster. And sure, in the regular season, the Oilers didn't do it. I kind of feel like they were just on cruise control until they got to the playoffs and knew what they had to do right after falling short in the final last year. I think that he has put on a coaching clinic this spring. I think against the Kings, he knew he had to load up his top guys and let them cook, and that worked for them, right? And you saw the differences in the third period approaches. And then you go to round two, and even when they didn't have an awful game, but they lost, he put in all of these lineup changes to go, we're going to find new combinations that work. And they did, right? You even look at having Stetcher and Nurse together. It extends to the defense. So having Corey Perry step up and live up to the hype in that position is huge, but knowing that he could be the guy there, right? And you think about stylistically how he could be a fit and that he's fit with McDavid before. They played together earlier in round one and they had some chemistry. Like, you know the buttons to press at the right times. That's huge.
How do you see this final going? It's a rematch of last year. Now, the last three rematches we've had, you go back to the Oilers losing to the Islanders in 83, beating the Islanders in 84. The Pittsburgh Penguins, that was Wayne Gretzky, by the way. Sidney Crosby in Pittsburgh losing to Detroit in 08, winning in 09. And now Connor McDavid getting his revenge. I know you're going to write about this. Do you think this is the time for Connor McDavid and the Oilers to bring back the Stanley Cup to Canada? Last time it was 1993 with the Montreal Canadiens.
I mean, I think that would be the more exciting finish at this point, right? Like, against the odds, they're doing it. They take down the Panthers. They beat their demons from last year. It's the star player doing it. I think that would be an unbelievable storyline. I think without Zach Hyman, I have more pause than I did before. Even though they got Ekholm back, right? And they know they still have Troy Stetcher if they need him, and they could easily go 11-7. And now you're letting Jeff Skinner back in the lineup to play actual minutes, right? Because he's the one player I was a little surprised hasn't been in the lineup so far. But I still give the slight edge to the Panthers. There's something about the way that they play when there's blood in the water, right? Like, and I think we saw that in that last elimination game against the Canes. They're down 2-0. They start putting on the pressure. They see it, and they know how to close it out. Then I'm going to give them the very slightest of edges. But I do like what Connor McDavid said last night talking to Emily Kaplan. Like, what's the difference between this year and last year? They were nervous last year, and this time they feel a lot more like calm, cool, and collected because they've done this before. So now you're getting to that same point. If you can maintain that same energy and not get too frantic, right? Know how to amp it up and have that pressure to play in the final because you have to have some sort of pressure there, but also not panic about it because you lost in that position last year, then I think that, you know, this could be a much different looking series than last year.
Is home ice advantage important? Last year, Florida had it, and they played Game 7 at home. This year, the Oilers have it. The Oilers are 6-1 at home in the playoffs. Now, Florida has been saying all season long, we don't care about home ice advantage. Down the stretch, they did not care to finish second or first in the Atlantic. They said, we are. Well, they're 8-2 on the road. So do you think that home ice advantage will be, in fact, an advantage for the Oilers?
It could be, right? Because you can control where Connor McDavid goes at. I mean, he's going to play against a little bit of everyone because he's going to jump on the ice at all times.
Yeah.
I never think it's a bad thing to have home ice advantage, but I do think it's going to be interesting with the Panthers because we saw them handle things a little bit differently. I go back to that round two series against Toronto, right? When the series was in Toronto, they went for a power versus power matchup. It was Barkov against Matthews. And the third line then had a little bit more time to score, and they were really making life difficult for the Leafs. When the series shifted back to Florida to free up Barkov and Reinhardt, who weren't scoring a ton, they took them out of the power versus power matchup and instead had the Marchand line go up against Matthews. They didn't score as much, but it freed up Barkov to score a little bit more. So I think it could be similar here, right? Like, we could see that Barkov versus Dreisaitl or Barkov versus McDavid matchup here, and that could create a challenge for either side of it, right? But I think the Panthers know if they put someone in those minutes and they're not going to score as much, just like Eichel couldn't for Vegas, that they still have all these other lines who can do things. That Tkachuk line is finally going, right? The numbers were good last round. In this series, they're actually scoring. And also now you have that Lundell line going. I think that they're in a good position no matter what. They shouldn't overthink the matchups. Just let their guys cook.
We have a couple of minutes left here. Evan Bouchard is an RFA with the Edmonton Oilers, set to make a lot of money. Sam Bennett, I feel like he's the one that everybody's talking about with the Florida Panthers, a UFA, but they can't let him go. Which one of those two will be the first one signed, and what money are we talking about for Bouchard and Sam Bennett?
I feel like Bennett's going to get extended. So everyone that right now is going, we're going to drop $10 million on Sam Bennett, which is ridiculous. I'm sorry. That's a 2C in the wrong phase of his career. I know what he does in the playoffs. I know he can be a huge threat.
Year.
But let's tamper it down. I think Florida extends him. I think we're going to see a deal. I could see him in the $7 million, right? Something a little more team friendly, $6-7 million. So I think that he gets extended first. I could see Bouchard pushing the limits a little bit more on his next contract, and he should. Totally different age ranges, situations. And I think the thing is with Bouchard is even though the defensive gaffes are there, and they are there in the playoffs and the regular season, it's just that they're so glaring, right? It's the same thing sometimes when a player loses the puck, everyone focuses on the giveaway, but you forget how much they have the puck in the first place. And I feel that way with Bouchard. Yes, he makes mistakes, but he has this elite offensive ability that's going to get him paid.
Rasmus Dahlin kind of comes to mind with that. Like, there's some mistakes, but there's so much more that he does. Dahlin's at $11 million. Does Bouchard hit $11 million when it's all said and done?
I wonder if he sticks to 10. I'm going to say 10 is my number for him right now before we see more defensemen pushing up to that. But, you know, you never know, right? New cap world.
New cap world. You're right, Shayna. Thank you so much. I love your honesty on the DeBoer Ottinger thing. This will be interesting. It's like a soap opera in Dallas. Where have we seen that before? But, yes, we'll keep an eye on this. Shayna, have a great weekend. Get back to the tennis watching at the French Open. The NHL doesn't start until next Wednesday, so you got some time to watch some tennis. We'll be back here on Sabres Live for one quick segment to wrap up the week.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Can't stay up on your feet, Sol? Hey, can't stay up on your feet? What happened there?
Well, that was 19 years ago, a game at home between the Sabres and the Carolina Hurricanes in the conference finals. And Eric Staal, it was a tripping penalty, I think, on Jay McKee, but I had to give him a little bit of a hard time because I didn't like Eric Staal. He was always in my face when we played against each other. And now he works for the team, so that's the way it goes. Okay, big day today, 1:30 Canada and Czechia here at the Para Ice Hockey World Championship. And then at 5 o'clock today is the USA against China. And then tomorrow at 4 p.m. is the gold medal game. But also at 5 o'clock here, downtown Buffalo, KeyBank Center, remember that we are having the back-to-back-to-back National Lacrosse League Cup Championship. Buffalo Bandits are going to have a huge celebration at Ticketmaster Alumni Plaza. The plaza opens at 5 p.m. and players will arrive around 5:30. So be there. It will be awesome. Hang around here too at the Ecom Harbor Center. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.